So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Astonishing Legends Network.
It's Flashback Friday, and you know what that means. A classic episode of Scared All the Time's fan favorite bonus show, New Fear Unlocked, is out of the vault and on the main feed. This episode originally aired on Patreon June 19th, 2025, but is being played by you right now.
Disclaimer: this episode includes the usual amount of adult language and graphic discussions you've come to expect around here. But in the event it becomes an unusual amount, expect another call from me.
You can't take a week off, not when the people need content. So it's time to fill the trough with something halfway decent. That only sort of rhymed, which is about halfway to decent. So we're doing fine. And you're doing fine. And now it's time for
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to New Fear Unlocked.
New Fear Unlocked.
New Fear Unlocked.
It was already a song. We don't need to do that.
That's right. We don't. Thank God we don't need to sing the song. This is the No Ums podcast, so that'll be the last you hear for the next 30 to 40 minutes or so. Ed will make sure that that's the case.
No, I'm not going to cut it out, man. I don't got the time, dude.
All right. So we are policing ourselves. We are monitoring our own usage, and we will not use it. So this week for New Fear Unlocked, we are going to tackle an article that has haunted me for quite some time. This specific article hasn't, but the death that the article covers has. Ed, well, this is an unfair question because we've already discussed the article. I was going to ask if you wanted to guess what this death is,
no,
but I guess you already know.
No, we went for a walk to get beers because it's so fucking hot. We were recording this. We wanted to run the window unit AC a little bit.
Yeah, and I forgot to put on deodorant today. So Ed and I are sitting in the
stink blanket.
The stink blanket fort that we record out of until we get our own studio at fucking
in 2095
Barstool Sports or whoever will have us.
Hit us up, Portnoy. We'll bring you pizza, dude.
So this article has the eye-catching title of "Man Suffered, Quote, Most Brutal Silent Death in History While Attempting to Reach Bottom of Sinkhole."
Yeah, I hope that below it, it's like, "For most brutal loud death, please see this link."
I don't see a link to the most brutal loud death. I imagine it probably involves maybe a lion.
Sure.
Or a bear. Sure. Something we covered on our Eaten Alive episode. This is more of a mystery. There's some theories as to what went on here. I do think there's also probably some very brutal silent deaths that in history that would be maybe more brutal than this.
Okay.
I do feel like this is a very lonely death.
Sure.
I mean, I guess all death is lonely.
People stand with you sometimes.
They do, but
like
you die alone, brother.
Yeah, no, they then sweep you into a crematorium or a box.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, this one's...
Well, what about those people who do the Kool-Aid? They drink the Kool-Aid. They don't die alone.
Well, no, but I mean, at the very end, like when you... Yeah, I guess, sure, they didn't die alone because there were people around them dying. So by that metric, everyone in World War II didn't die alone either, but you
it must be nice.
You eventually.
That's why they got the free houses.
Can you imagine sitting there holding the guts in on the beach of Normandy being like, well, at least I've got these people around me.
Yeah. The cacophony of screams.
Yeah.
Of good pals. RIP God bless by Greatest Generation.
RIP God bless. Prayers up. Shaq Exley.
I'm sorry.
Great name.
I thought you were going to say Shaq because you had a long pause. And I was like, oh, what'd Shaq do?
He died alone at the bottom of a sinkhole.
He died alone on the hill of capitalism because I went to fucking Office Max the other day and there's like a cardboard cutout of Shaq holding a fucking printer being like, Shaq prints with this.
I gave that cardboard cutout a fist bump last summer.
Yeah, it's still there.
We posted it on the Instagram.
I'm still thinking about it. So anyway, this is a different Shaq?
Well, it's Shaq. Shaq Exley.
Okay, I take it back. I didn't know.
I may have mispronounced it.
You pronounced Shaq. It like he was a famous basketball
Shaq,
player.
I see how you could have heard it. Shaq Exley was one of the most experienced and popular divers of his time, but Zakatone was a step too far for him.
What is Zakatone?
It's the name of the sinkhole.
Oh, no. They named them now?
This involves both deep sea death and sinkholes. Which
get
are,
ready.
Two topics that we've covered in the past. We had a deep sea mystery on what episode was it?
Oh, it was Bermuda Triangle, I think.
Bermuda Triangle?
It could have been anything else too, though.
There was an episode where we talked about a guy who was found with like knife wounds or something below the surface.
I don't recall what episode that was,
so
but there was
is
water.
Similar, but almost even more mysterious because that guy they know died from the multiple stab wounds that he or someone else gave him.
If he wasn't underwater, it would be a lot louder.
Yeah, this is a little different. So the article says, a man suffered one of the most brutal silent deaths ever when he made a daring attempt to reach the bottom of a famous sinkhole. Zakatone is technically known as a cenote, essentially a sinkhole, and is located in the northeast of Mexico, an area that has become popular for divers to explore since the landowner granted permission for diving in 1990.
Yeah, you know he put up a fucking at your own risk. Diving at your own risk.
I hope he did.
Because he's got a fucking sinkhole that someone's named down there. I have a question.
It only took 4 years for someone to mysteriously die at the bottom of the sinkhole, so that sign wasn't big enough.
That's a quattro años. Now, is it named because it's persistent? Like, is it named because it's always there? Because the sinkhole has a name.
Yes, Zakatone.
I'm saying, like, you don't name something. We don't name the chickens we're about to fucking eat.
Well, cenotes.
You don't name shit that doesn't hang around.
Cenotes, yeah. Cenotes are, you've probably seen pictures of them before. They look like holes in the ocean.
Is one with little bubbles coming out of it?
They look like a deeper blue or a darker green than the surrounding water. It'll be like a big, if you see it from the air, you'll see kind of like a big, see like a hole in
the
ocean.
It would have to be pretty nice water, like a Florida Keys water, to see something like that.
Yeah, and sometimes, I don't know exactly what this cenote look like. Sometimes they do just look kind of like ponds if they're more inland. Sometimes they're in the middle of the ocean. Sometimes they're a little bit more inland.
Sure.
So this one may have looked more like a pond. It's a famous, I'm sure it's a very pretty cenote that has been named such as to attract tourists or explorers or divers to their doom.
I just don't see myself, A, diving, and B, being like, I just don't see myself going into a hole in a hole.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
Would never.
Yeah, surface
oh, that's
level
what it
holes.
Was. It was caves. That's the episode we covered caves. This on because it was an underwater cave where that guy died.
Sure, I remember that episode. I remember it very well. I remember thinking, people are going to hate this.
And why were they going to hate caves?
I just thought it was kind of boring. And then I was driving with my friend Ray on the East Coast, and I was trying to QC it, which, by the way, for people who don't make podcasts, your friends do not want to sit in a car while you QC your own podcast.
I think most people understand that.
Yeah. So I'm checking the quality control of the episode. And he was like, well, what the fuck is this? I'm dying over here. And I'm like, well, I guess it's not going to be good. But then it ended up being good and people liked it. So
people love caves.
Nobody knows anything. That's what I'm saying.
Nobody knows anything. This article continues. Jim Bowden and Gary Walton, whose names are not as cool as Shaq Exley.
No, but they're understandable.
Were the first inside the cenote, and they thought they found its depth after dropping a plumb line and seeing it stop at 250 feet.
That's what I'm saying. Drop that line. Don't just cruise in.
They dropped a line. It stopped. Though what it stopped at was just a platform. The real depth of the C-note was a terrifying 1,112 feet deep. So
if we're ever doing that in the future, we're going to want to do it again. You want to shake it, yeah. Shake the line a little bit, see if it goes down further.
Yeah, I don't know they figured that out. Maybe they said, oh, it's 250. That's no problem. And they took a little cannonball in there and went, oh, fuck.
Well, when you said it, in my mind, intrusive thought that blasted into my mind was just like a Hanna-Barbera style cartoon octopus head that it blopped onto.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh, what the fuck hit me?
Yeah.
But they think it's as deep as it goes, but it just hit like a huge creature.
Yeah. There may be a huge creature. Well, we don't know. I don't think a huge creature killed Sheck Exley because they recovered his body, and a huge creature, I'm sure, would have devoured it. But this C-note, Zakatoon, is the deepest C-note in the world.
Yeah, we know that now. That guy, before this, did they know? That guy was dropping plumb lines.
I think the first plumb line, they thought this one's not that deep. And then when they dropped the second, they said, we have a record.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think these guys who were dropping plumb lines couldn't have known it was the deepest when they were doing it.
No.
Yeah.
Sheck was a well-regarded name, as he should be just on name alone.
Wait, regarded name as?
He's a well-known person.
Oh, I thought you'd say Sheck. I mean, I feel like Shrek is more well-regarded. They made at least two of those films.
They made four Shreks and then a multiple Puss in Boots spinoffs and
the
then a new Shreks coming
really
out.
Good. And the second one has some of my favorite jokes, but I've never followed anything beyond that in the Shrekiverse.
I don't know if I ever even saw the second one.
Second one has some really funny new characters.
Okay, I'll check it out after I go cave diving.
Oh no.
Sheck was a well-regarded name in the cave diving community and is known as the first director of the cave diving division of the National Speleological Society.
Okay.
So this is the first, I assume that is, I'm using my English brain here. I assume speleological is something to do with spelunking.
Spelunking, which we all know from Batman Begins.
So he was in charge of the cave diving division. Maybe he helped investigate the death of that other guy. If he died before him, I don't remember when that guy died.
No one knows, but we do know it was knife-based.
The legendary diver who started diving at just 16 years old. Who starts diving before? Well, I guess you're right. It's kind of like gymnastics.
Yeah, if you were a professional soccer player who started at 16 or 17, you'd be like, this is really interesting. It's surprising.
Mm-hmm. He made his way to Zakatoon with Bowden and Walton, previously mentioned, in 1993, and found out after diving themselves that the C-note was much deeper than initially thought. They soon found out that it was over 1,000 feet deep and were shocked as Exley managed to dive to 721 feet while Bowden pussied out and reached 504 feet, with both of them making the deepest ever dives into Zakatoon. So that sentence is very poorly structured because Bowden clearly would have gone first, making his 504 the deepest ever dive, and then Exley would have gone second for the 721.
That is correct. But I also, what do you think they're in those big metal?
No, dude, this is free diving, I'm pretty sure. This is just...
Really? To go that deep? You don't have to be in some sort of don't crush my bones? As I've tried to get a penny at the bottom of a pool and I'm like, I'm out. it's too much pressure. You know what I mean? I couldn't do it.
If you guys ever want to hide anything from Ed, you put it at the bottom, put it in the
deep end
of the public pool. He'll never go find it.
No way.
That's a good question. I don't know at what point you need all the pictures of Sheck, who has a killer mustache.
Okay, yeah.
Don't show him in any kind of special diving gear other than, air tank and hoses.
Yeah.
He actually kind of looks like Steve Zahn. Steve Zahn could play this guy in a movie.
Okay.
The warm water and weather conditions made it a favorable diving spot with the pair being Bowden and Sheck. The pair were set with plans to return and reach the bottom once and for all after their 504-foot and 721-foot dives. In April 1994, they returned to Zakatoon and wanted to conquer the task of reaching the bottom. Again, not something Ed and I would ever think. We would never drop a plumb line down 1,112 feet and say, you know what we need to do is get down there.
Yeah, now we've got to see what's up. Yeah, no, we've never, nor would we ever.
They wanted to reach the bottom, and so they took 2 days to prepare the required decompression bottles.
That's what I'm getting at.
Individual descent lines and routes required to make the bottom, which is interesting. It's a route a diving route isn't something you necessarily think about, but clearly in this case, if you dropped your first line and it only went 250 feet, there's stuff in the way. There's shelves, there's ledges, there's giant octopuses.
I've truly never thought of a diving route. You're right. But also
climbing, you think, oh yeah, you got to go the right way.
Yeah, but I also, in my mind, it's just, what was that movie with Robert De Niro, and he's like too racist to let Cuba Gooding Jr. be a diver?
Men of Honor.
Men of Honor, which is not the worst movie.
No.
But that's what I'm thinking of, that like 1940s style weird diving sci-fi suit, metal suit.
Yeah.
And that's what I imagine these guys are doing too, being like, push me, baby, push me off, and I'll just drop 300, 400, 500 feet. But maybe not. It seems like now they don't do the hose thing anymore.
I don't think they were in fancy suits. I don't think.
It can't be that
hard. There's no mention of preparing suits. There's the decompression bottles for the going up and down and not getting the bends. But no
maybe,
suits.
I just feel like, why are we doing away with suits?
I have a decompression bottle. It's called vodka.
So that's a bottle of Xanax. We should do a bonus episode at some point about some of the most interesting stories I've heard, or about shipwreck surveyors.
Oh yeah,
who like go down, and how they're all afraid of metal boats.
Mm-hmm.
Because like a wooden boat, you can like, I guess, punch your way out of if necessary. Like,
well,
you can
sure,
kick that old wood away. Exactly.
Yeah.
But like a metal boat, they're like, yeah, I'm going to go into a hotel underground that I'd already forgotten the floor map of when it starts adjusting and falling off a sea cliff. So we'll definitely talk about that at some point.
Yeah, not for me.
Hey, are you enjoying this old episode of New Fear Unlocked? If so, don't forget that you can stay up to date with brand new commercial-free episodes of it every week the main show's off. Now, here's one of those ad breaks you could be avoiding.
So these two, on April 6, 1994, they made their way down with Bowden's wife, who has the extremely unfortunate name Karen Hull.
Oh, no.
Exley's ex-wife, Mary Ellen Eckhoff, and Ann Kristovich, all of them qualified divers on hand for support, while the landowner and media were present, too.
You know what I want on support? A fucking winch with a rope attached to you that we can just pull you up if some shit goes around. That's what I'm saying. We shouldn't have gone away from the hose and armor.
Yeah, well, when your support in the hole is named Karen Hole, you've doubled down on the hole problem.
Yeah, she was born to do this. So she must be pissed. She's not going.
Making their way into Zakatoon, they focused up and began their descent on their own lines, though Bowden started to slow down at 750 feet. After reaching 900 feet, he realized he used more air than he had planned and had to stop, which I feel like that math should be pretty straightforward.
Also, 2 days they spent planning this.
Yeah.
With 3 other people on hand.
I'm sure someone's listening to this being like, you dumb motherfuckers, I know more, I've been diving, you don't know anything about it. And you're right, I don't. But it does seem like you could pretty quickly be like, this is how much air I use per foot or whatever.
Yeah, but also, if you go down there and you see a fucking spooky octopus,
you start hyperventilating.
You start hyperventilating. You're breathing more than you expected. You don't know what you're going to see down
maybe
there.
You shouldn't be such a pussy.
No, I think I would be like, I need a decompression tank.
Says the guy who never wanted to join a swim team because he would have had to get in cold water before 6 a.m.
That's you.
That's me.
I wouldn't do it. I won't take my shirt off. But back then I was in shape. But still, I would request a decompression bottle and also a handgun. So I can end my own life if I saw something scary, because I'm not coming back up.
After a slight panic with his cylinder valve on the regulator, he managed to see light through the darkness, he being Bowden, and he spotted Exley's line, though he and the team had a feeling something wasn't right. 15 minutes after they made the dive, only one set of bubbles remained. Exley's ex-wife, Mary, knew something was wrong.
Or his ex, too.
Yeah, Mary Ellen Eckhoff. Exley and Eckhoff.
I guess it's just, you know, you probably got married because you're into the same shit.
Yes.
You realize the relationship's not going to work, but you're still into the same shit. And so, like, there's not a lot of people doing this. So you're like, I guess I'm going to see my ex all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so Sheck died.
That's a very Randy Newman song of you.
Mary knew something was wrong, and she made her way down her diving gear, but couldn't find Sheck anywhere. Bowden was told the news at 60 feet that Exley was gone and knew there was no recovering him at that depth. 3 days later, the team pulled up the remaining line and found Exley's body attached to it.
Oh, thank God. Wait, that's the guy that died?
That's the guy that died.
Well, thank God they didn't have to go recover it. They can just scoop him up. That's why you have lines.
They did recover it, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
if Jeff Bezos can fucking recover from the bottom of the fucking ocean that abandoned space shuttle thing, then we can find Exley's body.
Well, here's the big mystery, though, is no one knows what happened.
You didn't get that far, 60 feet of 1,000.
No. So 60 feet was when Bowden was told. So Bowden was coming back up, and at 60 feet to the surface, they told him, I guess, via radio.
And they had both already
something.
Gone all the way down.
Or as far as they were going to go. Yeah, I don't know that Exley ever quite reached the bottom.
Well, Exley was probably like, my best chance of doing this is being dead. So I'll just die, and then I'll get all the way to the bottom.
So the big question is what happened? And no one's entirely sure. It's said that in his final moments, Scheck knew he wasn't going to make it and didn't want anyone risking their lives coming for his body. So he tied himself to the line so that his body could be recovered safely, which the logic there is a little funky because...
So these lines were never attached?
I don't,
this was
I
the
guess,
plumb line?
I
it
guess
was something completely
maybe
separate?
Maybe when you dive, you hold on to the line or something?
Yeah, I don't know. We should have done any amount of research.
We should have done
this
a
is bonus
little bit
episode,
of research.
So fuck it. This is New Fear Unlocked, baby.
What drew me to this article is the mystery of this man dives to the bottom of a sinkhole and seemingly just expires.
But why is it excruciating over the fucking headline was?
Probably.
Most excruciating.
Probably because there was some version of running out of air, knowing you're not going to make it to the surface, being in the complete, I assume,
darkness.
Utter darkness
for sure,
of the
darkness.
Bottom of Zacatón.
Yeah.
And just expiring with your lungs on fire, being like, well, I'm the best diver in the world and I'm drowning in a hole.
I think he was drowning in a hole before that. That was his wife's name?
That was Bowden's ex-wife.
Oh, shit. Well, I don't know. They're all a small community.
The diving community, that small community, was shocked that the man who created many of the safety rules that divers follow today fell victim to the activity he loved most. But Scheck made huge strides for the diving community, setting foundations for many to explore sinkholes, seas, and oceans for decades to come. The article leaves unsaid is how many people are going to die following in his footsteps to the bottom of those sinkholes, seas, and
but
oceans.
But also left unsaid is what happened to this guy.
No one really knows. There's.
I want more mystery. I want them to be like, when we brought him up to the surface, his hair was shock white.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what did he see? Or there was an eel on his
foot. He was missing a leg.
Yeah. There's not like a lot of mystery other than, I think that's why we need to send people down with like in space movies where they're always, you can see the vitals of people like on a screen and be like, Johnson, he's there, he died.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah.
Yeah, but then that gives you the data they've been seeing that whole time. Like right before he died, there was a spike.
Did you ever see that movie with Kristen Stewart, Underwater?
No.
I liked that
movie. I wasn't invited to the wedding either though, so.
some of our friends were.
I know, a lot of our friends were.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
No, it's a very, very expensive Roger Corman movie.
Oh.
And it's kind of good.
I'll watch it tonight.
I kind of like it.
Actually, I'm watching something else tonight, but maybe later this week.
Go in knowing nothing if you can.
I still currently know nothing.
Here's an underwater related story. Doug Lyman.
Okay.
That's how you pronounce it? Lyman?
Yeah.
Lyman?
Doug Lyman.
Director
of Swingers.
Director of Swingers, but more well known probably as the director of The Bourne Identity, as the director of Edge of Tomorrow.
Which is one of my all-time favorite movies. By any name you call it.
He's working on the next Tom Cruise movie.
Of course he is.
Deeper.
Written, isn't that in space?
Written, no.
I thought he was going to space. When's Tom Cruise going to space? He's not going
to
be here forever.
He is supposed to be going to space, and I thought with Doug Lyman, so maybe I'm confusing two movies, but Tom Cruise is starting to train with Ana de Armas.
Yeah, they seem to like each other.
For Deeper, written by Max Landis.
He's gotten out of a jail?
Max Landis comeback, maybe. Not that I'm in favor of that,
but I remember
this script's been kicking around for a long time.
I remember the title page of that script. It was a good title page.
What's on the title page?
It was just like interesting.
Oh, like
it was like
way
a long
down.
Line.
Yeah.
It was just like interesting. It was a fun way to do the cover. If he wasn't such a fucking monster of a human being, he was talented.
Tom Cruise is making his movie.
I can't believe
Doug Lyman is directing it. I might be wrong. Maybe it's one of his other chosen directors.
People who don't know, this is a person who was very more, I would say, rightly canceled.
Extremely rightly.
Yeah.
Not a well human being.
And yeah.
Not father, none too well respected either.
What the hell was it? And this is, I might have to cut this or a bleep apart, but it was one of my all time favorite moments. And I'll say, and I'll cut that too, depending on what Chris says is appropriate. we were looking at this great poster for Werewolf in London. What the hell is it called? It's called
American Werewolf in London.
American Werewolf in London, directed by John Landis. And it was this great poster. And I was like, fuck, that's a great poster in a good movie. I remember he just goes, yeah, it's too bad. Too bad he's a murderer and his son's a rapist, huh? And I was like, fuck, that is so true.
Yep.
But
yep.
Yeah, it's too bad he's a murderer and his son's a rapist.
He meant three.
Good movie.
So, yes, it is Doug Liman, Tom Cruise, and Ana de Armas to star in $200 million plus Deeper.
You know what? We don't got her that job, dude. I bet, because Tom Cruise is all about people who put the work in. And so he probably saw those John Wick ballerina behind the scenes and was like, she put the work in.
She put the
work in. She can come work here, I guess. So he gets real mad at people. You ever watch the footage on Edge of Tomorrow of Emily Blunt not being that into it and him not being that into her, not being that into it?
Yep.
Yeah, you need to put the work in with him.
Hilariously, Google, welcome to the wonderful world of just AI bullshit that everything serves you now. Yeah. So I looked up, I searched here to see Tom Cruise Deeper to see who directed this. On the right-hand side of my Google page is the Wikipedia entry for Tom Cruise. The third photo is not Tom Cruise.
What?
It's some other guy who kind of looks a little like Tom Cruise.
Is it Thomas Mapother, whatever
actually,
his real name
maybe
is?
Maybe it is Tom Cruise. He just looks really weird.
Yeah, because Wikipedia is really pretty decent about not letting things be wrong too long.
He just looks weird. Or maybe I'm so used to old Tom Cruise, he's like younger. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. The point is, if you scroll further down, there's suggested topics to explore if you're interested in Tom Cruise Deeper. The first is Tom Cruise AI with two AI photos of Tom Cruise. The second is Tom Cruise Monotooth, which
he does have that one tooth down the front.
It seems to be.
I never put it to a name, but yeah, that's what it is, kind of.
Yeah. Then Tom Cruise MI7, Tom Cruise Fitness, and then Tom Cruise Looking Up, which I don't know if he's well known for looking up. I know he's well known for running.
Yeah. I don't know what he's looking up at.
The photo, he looks like a swollen Norm MacDonald.
But I do know, what's his age, comes for all of us. But the, I saw he'd made the headlines recently for eating popcorn weird, so you just can't win, you know?
If you're Tom Cruise, you definitely can't win. We've all, if you've been in LA more than a few years, you've heard stories of Tom Cruise trying to win, trying to fit in with normal people, and they're all fucking crazy.
Well, that's
stories.
Interesting. I think because the people I know who have worked with him personally have nothing but amazing things to say about him.
Amazing things to say. I think he's probably a very intense and very good person to work for, at least in the sense of crazy intense, but also when you hear stories of him trying to fit in with like the crew or do things that a normal person would do.
Yeah, you know what? At least if you used to get a cake.
It's true.
I know one person on the fucking cake list who gets a cake every year from him.
I think I do too.
And because you're on it for life.
On the cake.
And so if you can't win in small talk, win with shipping amazing cakes.
I will say, I guess I can tell this story. Who gives a fuck? I heard a story, I won't say from who, that Tom Cruise on some movie that was shooting over a Super Bowl found out that the crew was having a Super Bowl party, was upset that he wasn't invited, and apparently not in like a dick way, but just sort of a like, oh, maybe they don't like me. Not thinking, well, the fucking grips might not want to walk up to Tom Cruise and be like, hey, do you want to come to our Super Bowl party?
Yeah.
So he found out he wasn't invited. He got sad about it. Someone on his team got him invited to the Super Bowl party. He showed up with a football and thought that the Super Bowl party was going to be people hanging out and throwing a football around.
I mean,
but it's just such a wide-eyed child. It's like what I would do in fifth grade if I couldn't make friends and someone invited me to a Super Bowl party. I would have brought a football, being like,
the difference,
who wants to throw the football?
The difference between you and Tom Cruise is, I bet you he spent a day and a half, he flew in the best football instructors in the world and learned to
be
better than
spiral.
Peyton Manning for this like backyard day.
Yeah.
Fuck. I mean, look, at Scientology aside, all the Brooke Shields stuff and his own personal madness during that time period in the 2000s aside, there's still nobody I'd show up for.
Wait, Brooke
Shields is the person that he was saying, like,
because she
does therapy and took antidepressants.
Right.
And it was just like very publicly.
And that was when he loved Katie Holmes.
It's when he loved jumping on couches. Yeah. It was that whole like year or two where Scientology was the forefront of his whole shit. But there's nobody I would show up for more. To like go to the theater, I'm saying like there's nobody I'm going to the theater faster and more reliantly for than a Tom Cruise movie. I'm always there. I'm going to see it on the biggest screen possible.
He puts the work in.
I'll fucking watch Cocktail on the biggest screen possible. He's flipping all those goddamn bottles. That's hard as shit.
It is really hard.
You know how many bottles would be broken on set if it was me on take 40?
Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't that one it. Long tooth hanging out. He's flipping all these beautiful bottles.
Couldn't do it.
I would love it. Let's all go. Next meetup is at the next Tom Cruise movie. We'll all go to Deeper. We're not going to the premiere because I don't want to spend a minute with Max Landis. But we'll go somewhere else.
We probably shouldn't support. There's no way that someone's rewriting that. He's going to get a story by
that script has been openly available on the internet for so long that, yeah, it's someone was like, this was a good idea. We should pay him a little bit of money to option it or something. Yeah.
All right, well, that's New Fear Unlocked for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Chris Kalari.
And I've been canceled probably from Hollywood.
Until next week, stay scared.
The theme song may say this show has no name. But as you know, it actually has a name. New Fear Unlocked.
The thing you guys always say, that's the name. It's over, so you can turn it off. There's nothing.